workshop and possible discussion on the strategic plan and finance forecast for FY 2017 by Jim Forte, Planning and Development Manager, and David Thompson, Chief Financial Officer.
We keep blaming a lot of things on the Legislative Budget Board review that they did, and I'll continue. They made an observation that they didn't feel as though the Brazos River Authority's strategic plan and its long-range financial plan coordinated. So we went back as a staff and looked at the strategic plan that the board had adopted in 2007. We presented that, the initial pass through that to you and at your April board meeting. And quite frankly, the one that we're proposing for 2017 looks a lot like the one in 2007 because when you measure the progress that you make on a project in decades as opposed to days and weeks and months, even though we think things happen pretty quickly, our industry is very clearly defined. Our direction and our mission, we think, is that we defined in 2007 is still valid today. What I'm going to do, and you had this material, again, in the April board meeting, we solicited input. And what I'm going to do is go down through this and point out some of the obvious changes. And we'll go through it. And if any of the board members have a suggestion or an observation that we might need to incorporate, we certainly are looking for that. The mission statement, the guiding principles that we had in 2007 have not changed. We think they're still valid. One change that we did make from the information that you saw in April is this Roman numeral number one, which is a goal now. The hierarchy is Roman numerals are goals, little letters are or lowercase letters are objectives, and then Arabic numerals are strategies. This at one time was an objective underneath the goal that said we should develop water resources, and we felt as a staff when we went back and looked at it that it was more appropriate that planning be a goal unto itself because of the variety of planning activities that we're involved in, the regional water planning, the long-range financial plan that we'll talk about a little bit later on. And so this is a goal the BRA will proactively engage in strategic planning and effective resource management. The second goal deals with water resources. Again, we've populated strategies that come out of our budget. We've talked about two of them already today, Allen's Creek and the System Operation Permit. Matter of fact, several of these, the Trinity Groundwater Well. Of course, the investment that we made in the East Williamson County when we bought the treatment plant from the city of Taylor back over 10 years ago and positioned us not only to provide treated surface water to Williamson County, but also to be at the terminal and the hub for us bringing groundwater into that area. There are evolving technologies that are just now starting to gain traction that we obviously watch what's going on in the marketplace. Developing water and managing the water for our customers. Of course, we have the projects that we've undertaken to be sensitive to the Possum Kingdom Granbury area. And then looking at the major assets, the most significant investments that we have in fixed assets, which are our three dams, and the fact that you've seen and you'll see as David presents some detail of what's in the budget for 2017, the investment that we will be making in those three structures. And then the various, and again, David will mention it in the budget presentation, but the various systems that we operate for not only ourselves, that East Williamson County, but also the wastewater treatment plants that in the central and lower basin that we operate for our customers. Protecting the water resources, clean rivers. We've been, I guess, the sponsor in the Brazos Basin for clean rivers probably since it was conceived. We're involved right now. The interest in freshwater mussels, and these are not the invasive freshwater mussels, but those that have naturally existed in the basin, is something that's come to the forefront from an environmental standpoint. Of course, our own 404 permit. And then looking at the remnant property up at Possum Kingdom to see what it might hold. And then the outreach that we do, trying to get to our customers and the stakeholders and those that are interested in our activities. Our Facebook site, very active. Especially when it's either really dry or really wet. Electronic email newsletter, our speakers bureau, where if you call us anywhere in the basin, we'll send somebody out to talk to you about what the Brazos River Authority does and how we do it. As a governmental entity, of course, open records requests are almost on a daily basis, and Riley Wood handles all that for us. And then our just outreach to elected officials, looking at folks in various specific geographic areas, the activity that we're starting to develop around the Allens Creek site with local officials and stakeholders down there, and reaching out to them to make sure that they understand what we're going to do at Allens Creek. And then the transparency we have for our financial information and process driven by the Secretary of State, and information that we post out on those websites to make sure that we're meeting all the expectations that are there. And then, of course, Sunset, we're in that piece of legislation. And the five-year management audit that, since we don't have an internal auditor, we'll undergo one of those soon. If you don't have an internal auditor, the water code requires you to have a management audit. And one of the elements of the management audit, for example, is how your strategic plan functions and how it guides. And we hope that this process here will add to the support that we have in terms of complying with one of those requirements. And then our employees, probably the most important asset that we have, notwithstanding the physical assets of the three dams, but the folks that work here and what we do and how we go about doing it. Our wellness activity and the fact that we afford our employees time off to pursue fitness and other matters, and then our focus on the safety of our employees and making sure that they are schooled and trained in safe operation and function of our equipment. And that they have access to personal protective equipment to make sure that when they are working, that they have a safe working environment and can avoid any type of lost time activity. That essentially is going down through the strategic plan. Again, what we told you last we, our last meeting in April, that we were going to populate the strategies, and we've done that. I'm going to throw it over to David Thompson here in a second, but I'll entertain any comments on the strategic plan or any observations that you'd like to make that we maybe need to incorporate into it.
So I just have a quick question or comment. 3C talks about the Goldwater conservation. So we talked this morning about getting more information about that.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
And obviously, it's in the proposed budget already. So we're just keeping it like that.
That can be removed.
Information or?
It was. I'm trying to find it.
Back. And go down. There you go.
No, am I going back?
3C.
Okay. 1, 2.
On page 8.
3. Okay. My mistake. Okay.
Right there.
I get there.
Now up.
Right there.
There. Put it in reverse instead of four. That's we can do that. That's the agenda item that you're going to we're asked the resolution that we're going to ask you to adopt. Once we get through the workshop, only has you adopting at the goal level, and this was populating activity, so you're not going to officially adopt this today regardless, but we can certainly take it out and pending whatever you do at the October meeting.
Put it back in.
Any other questions? All yours.
And I'll be back.
Okay, back in April, the board had a look at our preliminary budget, and since that time, we finalized the proposed budget. Very little changes from the April numbers to today's numbers that I'm going to show you. You did receive a book probably about 2.5 weeks ago, and in that book is all the details to the budget itself. And I do want to mention that my staff and I have probably spent well over 1,000 hours preparing that book. So let's take a look at some of the numbers. Here's proposed is $58.6 million. And in the $58.6 million, you can see our system rate providers give us 26.7. Cost reimbursable, which is the next largest number, is 17.5. And that is where BR manages customers' facilities, and then the cost involved with that is billed back to the customer dollar for dollar. And this is our waste treatment plants, makes up about 12.7 million of the 17.5. And it's like Brushy Creek, Temple Belton, Dozier Farm. Next, looking at the expenses, is 56.9. The water supply system is 32.1, and this is a number that we'll be using in the system rate calculation. And here's the cost reimbursable, which is the 17.5, the revenue you just saw before. Next is looking at the operating expenses for the water supply system. And in here, basically 60% of our costs, which is our salaries, benefits, and our debt services, makes up the fixed costs in our budget for next year. Next is the employee expenses. We use 1.8 of the employment cost index, the U.S. labor average that we use. We also use 3.2% on the performance. And we come up with about 5%, which is comparable year on year, what we use. Our benefits was 8.2, and that was primarily to the increase in the health cost that we have going on. And then we had basically two full-time adds. We lost two with West Central Brazos Pipeline, but we added four people to it, giving a net of two. Now, just taking a look at all the expenses, And one of the key items here is that there wasn't much change between the 2 years in the budget. But again, West Central Brazos Pipeline sale was a cost that removed from 16 and is not in 17 going forward. The offset basically has been the salaries and benefits increase that we saw in 17. Next is looking at all our projects. And in our projects, basically I took two things to take a look at: how much we're spending on the infrastructure maintenance versus how much we have in new water. And that's 80% of what we plan to spend in the 26.1. And how that breaks down is looking at, for the new water, Allen's Creek, Trinity groundwater well, and the system permits. That makes up 90% of what we're planning to spend for the new water. And then in the dams themselves, we basically have, you know, Possum Kingdom, Granberry, and basically the limestone. That makes up about 90% of the cost we plan to spend for those projects. Next is taking a look at our operation projects. And these are projects that basically we primarily don't capitalize, either because they're long-term studies or the expenses are too small to capitalize. And the main thing with these projects is that as we go through here, there are some projects like the Duck Creek and basically the Lower Basin Floodplain Protection. These are basically funded by grants or other stakeholder funding. So therefore, these expenses are removed from that to get the $1.7 million, which is then included in the system rate calculation. Next is looking at what water is available to sell for next year, 636,000 acre-feet. Again, the system rates is 58%. Where 30% is basically two-tier and utilities companies, which make up our oldest contracts we have with the lower rates. I put this together to kind of give you an idea of a 10-year look at our system rates. And you can see starting out here, which was flat between 12 and 13, we had an increase up to basically 16. And looking at our projections out, and we see that the rates probably won't increase more than 2 to 3% over the next 5 years. And that includes the salaries and benefits and the capital projects we plan to spend in those 5-year period. Next is looks at the types of rates we have, obviously, and then look at the acre feet and then the rates we have changed between 16 and 17. One of the big changes we had was basically utility acre-feet change with Luminant giving back 83,000 acre-feet, in which 39,000 of it went into system rate. Now, this is taking a look to see what is goes into the system rate that we're calculating for 17. We talked about the O&M expenses, not much change there. We talked about the operation project and the $1.7 million, the increase from last year. And then the debt service, debt coverage and the reserve requirements, which were required by our board policies, we had a $1 million increase there. Also then you had a reduction in revenue caused by the West Central Brazos Pipeline, giving you $3.3 million increase from last year. The 26.7 is then used, calculated against the system rate acre feet, get to 72 acre feet. And that's a 2.1% increase. Next, I just want to take a look at the debt and the change from 15 to 16. And we saw there that we had no new debt issued. And basically, there's just principal payments. So we're at the end of this year, we'll end up at $93.6 million in debt. Last is just taking a look at all lines of business and the change that we see from 16 to 17 on the budget. And we started off with basically 58, and we'll end up about 36 million in reserves or working capital. Also, you have 7.9 million of work days of working capital built into the 36. So this gives you, and I'm taking the 36, breakdown to show you how the reserve is broken out. Rate stabilization is the largest one. Contingency fund, which is set by the board at $5 million, it's basically for unanticipated or unbudgeted maintenance that we may have, working capital, I just talked about, 90-day working capital, and basically the self-insurance, which is things like workman's comp or casualty insurance or expenses that are unanticipated. So with that, are there any questions or?
Back to your draft on the 2-tier contracts. There's, to the best of my memory, there's some of those that are going to expire pretty soon, right?
Yes.
And they're at 17. They'll go, when they expire, then they come back on at system rate,
full
right?
System rate.
Okay, my question to you is, these customers have had a long-term, pretty sweet deal.
Right.
And it appears to me they're going to want the same thing again. I don't know. Wouldn't you?
That contract doesn't allow it to be extended
beyond that,
other than at our discretion in pricing.
And we were recently successful with both NRG and Limited in converting those from that real cheap 2-tier water to system rate.
Okay, so they don't have
so, and that's a precedent that was set for us holding
okay.
tight and
that was
making
my
sure
question.
Folks
okay.
in that contract.
If they could renegotiate mm-hmm. another long-term deal.
Mm-hmm. The two-tier contracts, just from a history lesson, those came out of the rate case that we were involved in 1991 and 92. And those are negotiated settlements with the protesting parties. And yes, they did negotiate a very, very nice deal. Those contracts don't expire until 2041.
41?
Yes. Now, I'll show you that here in my presentation. But they were 50-year contracts. I wasn't trying to steal the podium from David.
That's
but,
okay. Were there any other questions?
Yes, sir. Okay. No more questions for David. We'll go on to agenda item number 14.
No, we've got a third element of number 13, sir.
Okay. All
right. Taking what David just talked about, the operating budget, and incorporating that into our long-range financial planning, various data elements that go into it, and I'll talk about some of those in specifics here in a second. But to look at what's going to go on with our rates in the future, we will take a project, the Allen's Creek project, for example. A better example would have been the decommissioning of the hydro back in 2007 when we ran the cost-benefit analysis of that through our long-range financial plan to see what the impact on future rate making would be. And that's what I assume helped you make that decision to close that plant. But then what we do is we look at what these activities do to the system rate. We look at what then has happened to our reserves, and then we go back in and we balance the rate making through a combination of, do we need to issue debt for a project that we had anticipated using reserves for, and so on. Then we just keep cycling this until everything balances and we have what we think is an appropriate outcome. Some assumptions in here, and David talked a little bit about the fact that we have an employment cost index in our salaries and wages accounts. When we look at our inflating our O&M costs for long-range purposes, we don't use just a CPI indicator and apply that to a bottom-line number. We go inside the budget and look at specific categories of expenditures. If that type of expenditure is impacted, for example, by oil and gas, we use a different indicator there as opposed to one that maybe does not. One refinement we made this year to maybe bring a little bit more reality to our forecast was the Water Development Board's rules for regional planning indicate that if there's a water supply strategy that's identified in a region and there's no specific sponsor assigned or is willing to stand up and take that project, that the default sponsor is usually the river authority that is in that region, for example. So for Brazos G, and Region H, BRA finds itself as the default sponsor for projects that that have a very specific and directed constituency, but that that constituency hasn't stepped up to the plate yet and said, yeah, we'll build that one. We thought it was misrepresented what our true obligations were as an organization, so we took projects like that out of there. If you looked at our long-range financial plan forecasts in prior to this year, we had used just traditional financing means for Allen's Creek, issuing debt against our own credit, amortization schedules that maybe weren't as advantageous as we can get from the Texas Water Development Board. We met with the board staff last week to begin the process of putting that financing in place. They have some very, very attractive products that are very sensitive to rate making. They defer principal out beyond what we could normally do issuing debt on our own. And so we're going to continue to work with them as we put the entire Allen's Creek package together. And the other thing that's significant here is that and we've avoided doing this in the past, and we feel until we have the system operation permit in hand that it's inappropriate to contemplate that any sales of water out of that permit. We'd hate to mislead our ratepayers into the future with an assumption that we have X number of acre feet of water for sale, and they looking at the forecast we have for the rates in the future, and then that permit for some unforeseen reason not come together. Here's getting back to the question that you were coming with. The red bars match David's red pie chart slice, and that they are the units that are subject to the system rate. You can see they gradually increase, and essentially as contracts expire, you have a board policy that as a contract expires, it will be renewed at the system rate. These are the two-tier contracts, these orange bars, and you can see, and again, they don't expire until 2041, but they are the last remnant of the legacy contracts that we've inherited. The blue bars here are contracts with NRG and Luminant that were negotiated back in the 60s. They'll be expiring over a period of time. 2031, I think, is when the last one expires. That's run-of-the-river water and water associated with Lake Granbury and Lake Limestone. But again, when those elements are taken care of, rate making is going to be pretty easy in 2042.
Do the reservoir?
The utilities did, yes, sir.
I mean, it wasn't just a giveaway.
Yes, so there's a cost benefit there to the fact that both those utilities underwrote 100% of the construction costs of both of those reservoirs. Absolutely. And then we have the asset to perpetuity, so that there is a huge economic advantage to that. Projects, if you looked at this number last year, it was about $1.4 billion. Now we've stripped out some projects. As we mentioned, the default project's still about $1 billion out the next 50 years. Allen's Creek coming in here. And here's what we're looking at in terms of forecasting. Even though this looks like a nice flat line, forecasting O&M expenses, again, is influenced by two or three different indicators that we use. And then down here, non-system revenue stays pretty flat, because as those non-system contracts come off, that's the driver primarily for our non-system income. And as they come off, they come in and become system rate contracts. And so that revenue line just stays pretty flat. This is Allen's Creek coming in here to test our modeling. We went out here about 25 years out and said, we got three dams. One of them was built in 1939. It'll be over 100 years old when you get out here. What happens when you exercise our model? with the board reserve policies, and David talked to you about where those reserves are. And again, even though it drops dramatically, what we've seen is because expenditure estimates are in our budget don't necessarily hit exactly what we budget, and our revenue forecasting and revenue budgeting is pretty conservative, that this is a very low number and probably will never get down to that point. And then here you see the system rate going out over 25 years, and it looks like a pretty good ramp up until you extend that curve out 50 years. And even though there is some ramping up here, if you look at the average from 2017 out to 2067, it will approximate what David was talking about earlier, about a 2 to 3% annual growth. Some bumps every now and then when you take on a big project. But when you get out to that 2041 time frame, and we've got 99% of our water being priced at the system rate, it becomes more inflation-driven than anything else. And then projects may cause it to go up and down a little bit. But I think we can see a pretty stable future for our system rate. Again, this does not assume any water out of the system operation permit. And we've conservatively suggested that you might be able to, in its current form, get maybe 100,000 acre feet of new water contracts out of that. The proposed system rate, that $7.2 million a year, will influence that line pretty significantly. That's into my presentation. So floor is open. David's here.
Approximately of Allen Creek Reservoir, acre.
Yield?
Acre, no, not yield, acre size.
10,000 acres,
about 10,
the footprint.
That's approximately how far from Houston?
30 miles. I'd say 60 miles. 50 miles.
30 miles. About 50.
50. But their water distribution system only comes within about 20 miles.
Yeah,
which is a significant issue.
Distribution, Houston distribution. 20.
Oh, good.
It comes.
Yeah,
where it comes.
Yeah, yeah.
Any other question?
More.